everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. And joining me, as always, over there downing Skittles and Mountain Dew on air.
Yep.
Standards, girl. Is the Retro Witch herself, Stephanie Bree. Stephanie, how the hell are you?
Well, obviously, I can't fucking count. If you're paying attention, this is the real episode 15.
That's right. So for anybody who doesn't know, Stephanie texted me last week on Tuesday after the show went live with her message. And it says, quote, I am bad at math. I cannot count. 13 plus 1 equals 14, not 15. My response was,
what?
Okay, you're gonna have to elaborate. Well, Stephanie somehow got it in her head that we were on episode 15, not 14 last week. And so, Steph, I love you, but you fucked up.
Yeah, and then so I downloaded a PDF of a fifth grade math book, and it was like, oh my God, I don't know any of the words in this book. So I downloaded the fourth grade math book thinking, okay, I'll back the track it until I can get caught. I got all the way down to third grade and I gave up. I was like, God damn it, stupid.
So if you're keeping track at home, neither of us are smarter than a fifth grader.
No.
Oh, dear God. But this is, like she said, episode 15.
Mm-hmm.
15. Let that sink in for a minute. We have done 15 of these damn things.
Diez y cinco if you're in the Spanish.
Ah. Muy bien. Yeah, and then she shuts up because she's eating Skittles.
Yum, 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 yum. They're not that bad, but they weren't. It's the smoothies Skittles. I've never had them before. It was a flavor I wasn't expecting.
They just taste like sugar.
Mm-hmm.
They all do.
But my blood tastes like sugar.
Yeah, talk to the diabetic about your blood being like sugar. Uh-huh.
I'm
yeah,
halfway
great.
There.
Yeah. So we got a couple things we need to talk about here in the opening of the show.
Mm-hmm. Big news.
Big news on several fronts here.
Mm-hmm.
We have officially monetized our podcast.
We're capitalists. I'm just kidding.
Well...
We're artisans.
It's not that we're capitalists. It's I don't want to work.
There we go. We're socialists, only our government hates us.
Like, yes. So we just went live. Let's see. The magic of podcast time travel.
Yesterday.
We went live with Patreon.
Woohoo!
That's right. And you can join. We got some really cool stuff. Now we're going to kind of want to tell everybody what we're doing on there.
We get money. Y'all get awesome content Robin's going to tell you all about.
Way to oversell that.
Oh, it's pretty good. I think it's awesome content, especially the bonus perk you get for just for signing up.
So, yeah. Yeah, great. So as it sits right now, we've got three tiers. Okay. We have a couple of others that are sitting... in waiting. We have our first tier is our official Patreon. That one is you get your name read on an episode. And what the hell are you doing?
Trying to get that away from me.
Oh God. Here I'm trying to read something and you're trying to hand me a bag of Skittles.
I thought you would have known to just take it from me.
No, I wouldn't have known that. What does this mean? Shaking something in my face.
Tell them about the Patreon.
Anyway, you'll get your name read as a thank you on the podcast. So anybody who listens gets to hear how awesome you are. Plus, much to my dismay.
Oi.
Who am I kidding? I love any sort of attention, right?
That's right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't
She was
do
crying
this.
Just the morning that she can't share selfies anymore. And I'm like, you know, there's a way around that.
I know, but... You'll also get a thank you video from your girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The fabulous and incredible one.
You'll get to see her face, y'all.
Well, it'll be filtered because, you know.
Well, that's okay.
Until we get this dumpster fire under control. The second tier, you get all that also. Oh, by the way, the first tier is only $1.
That's right.
$1 gets you in.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like a bad streaming service promo.
I was thinking a televangelist saying, for only $1, you can get into heaven for 30 days.
So your second tier, I'm going to be doing a audio blog. Now, remember, you're going to get this other the other cool stuff in tier mm-hmm. one. Because apparently, that's how it works.
Yep.
And it's just going to be me. It's a little 15-minute audio blog where I'm just going to talk about whatever's going on in this bag of cats I call a brain. And trust me, folks, it's weird sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really weird.
And she's the normal one of the two.
And I'm the normal one. So that's at a $3 tier. So we hope you'll
appreciate that.
Hopefully mm-hmm. you're getting some sort of value. And
yes, please.
Hopefully I don't scare off people because it is just me.
And she'll be opinionated-ish.
Yes, I will.
She'll be unfiltered. I promised her that.
A lot more of unfiltered.
She promised you all that, I should say.
Yeah, unfiltered Robin Stotts.
Yeah.
Uncensored.
Ooh, uncensored. Kids, prepare. Plug your ears.
Prepare for lots of F-bombs.
Ah, fuck. We're in trouble.
The third tier, which is a $5 tier. This one we're tweaking a little bit.
Okay.
But as of right now, we're going to do once a month a live 1 hour Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that's in the third tier, you'll get the invite. We'll set it up. Do a lot of feeling out to whatever time works for best for everybody. So here's the interesting thing about this is it could be one of three things. The Zoom meeting could just be Stephanie. That's right. 1 hour with the Retro Witch.
In costume, most likely. Not always, but I may be.
Did everybody hear that? That was the sound of my eyes rolling in the back of my head.
My cat's eyes got big. He's like, oh, God.
Oh, God. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for taking my side. It could be yours truly.
Uh-huh.
It could be. And she just yawned. What a...
It's a sugar crash.
Oh, sure. Sure. Like, I'm the one that's a bore. I don't think so. I think people love me. But of course, I also think I'm the center of the universe, too. Here's the other thing. It could be both of us.
That's right.
That's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Well, we'll see how it works.
Oh, it's... Come on. It's a train wreck.
Because we're talking about video here. You're going to see us both.
Both. And oh, by the way.
Uh-oh.
After I tried.
Uh-oh.
And I tried.
Uh-oh.
And I tried. Guess what, folks? I can't use my Snapchat filter on Zoom.
Well.
What the what?
Guess Maybelline's going to get a little more money this semester.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm calling my Mary Kay sales rep and say, load me up on whatever you got to put a good coat of paint on the dumpster fire.
I was considering signing up to be an Avon rep. I'm like, I got to find some way to save money on this shit.
See, I got lucky. I have a Mary Kay salesperson that's related. So she gives me really good tips. I'm not going to give her a shout out on the podcast because if you're listening and you want the name of my Mary Kay person, you know, hit me up on Twitter at Robin Allura or at transposepod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And I will gladly give you the information.
For only $5.99. I'm just kidding.
I'll do it for free.
Uh-oh. So much for being a capitalist.
Well... When you help family,
okay.
Everybody wins.
There you go.
So those are the three. Like I said, it's a $1, a $3, and a $5 tier. We also, on that last tier, we may try it twice a month.
Yes, we're considering it.
We're going to consider it and see how everything works out. Now.
And that'll just be freebies.
Right. There is a fourth tier I'm going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a fifth tier, but I'm not going to talk about
no,
it.
No.
Because it's a magical surprise.
But y'all, please give us money so we can get there.
Yes. So the fourth tier will be, we are going to have actual Transpose Pod merchandise.
That's right. Fun stuff.
Holy crap. Really? Yes.
Really fun stuff.
Yes. Some fun stuff. That will be a little higher tier, but what's going to have to happen first is we need to make $75 a month on the Patreon before that.
And that's not a $75 tier. It's all together as long as we're making $75 a month from the Patreon, however many that, however that works out.
Right, right. So however many people sign up when we have that many Patreons, that the grand total per month that we're bringing in is $75. It'll unlock the merch.
Mm-hmm.
I got my brain all spinning and shit. Oh, that's going to be fun. And then, like I said, we have another tier that's going to be the secret tier. And I've set that up to $300 a month. Yeah, I know that's a lofty goal, but I kind of don't want to do it. But I kind of do. So, anyway, that's the big news for the Patreon. So we're asking you, please find us.
Yes, support the show and we'll give you more fun stuff and content. And
yes, Patreon. It's patreon.com, I believe.
Write this down.
Hang on. I got it. I just got to pull it up. It's patreon.com something, 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 something. patreon.com/transposepod.
Yes.
So find us there. Or you also go to patreon.com and search for us, Transpose Pod or the Transpose Podcast. You'll find us there. In other news, we have to talk about two episodes coming up.
Yep. Something special.
We're doing something very special in two episodes. The first one, I am so damn excited for, because we have a special guest joining us here at the table.
Mm-hmm. With her very own mic.
With her very own mic and her very own headphones, talking with us for an entire episode. We mention her a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And are you ready? I wish I had a drum roll on this damn thing.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Anyway, next week, episode 16.
Sweet 16, y'all.
Sweet 16. It's going to be the retro witch, Stephanie Bree. The fabulous and incredible Robin Allura.
That's her legal name, by the way. I'm just kidding.
And the love of my life, AJ's going to join us.
Yay!
So y'all will all get to hear from AJ. We got some really cool topics. She's mm-hmm. picked our top five.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting excited about this, too. And I know I'm stoked. I've talked to a lot of people on our social medias. And she's got a lot of really good things to say. I'm just really looking forward to it. It's going to be kind of fun. She gets to join in the insanity.
Yes.
The last thing we're going to talk about real quick before we really jump into this week's show is episode
17.
Yep. And why are we talking about this now? Well, episode 17 is
another special one.
A very special one. It's a Twitter Q&A. Now, I have to say, keep it appropriate.
Yes, please.
Okay, we want to answer legit questions, not does this look infected or things revolving horrible acts. Yeah. So we're telling you now, so anybody who's listening, you can start thinking about it. And you can send your questions. You can either, is Transpose Twitter set up for direct messaging?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can either direct message the Transpose Pod.
Mm-hmm.
You can direct message me, Robin Allura. You can email... No, because it's on Twitter. Never mind. Or we're going to both put up posts on Transpose Pod, the Spider's Lair, right?
Yep.
And, of course, Robin Allura. We're going to put a post up on all of those, and you can reply to that post. So, fans of the Transpose Pod.
And for all six of you that are on Facebook still, we'll have a on our Facebook page.
We have six people on Facebook?
I don't know. That might be a high number.
I was about to say, last I heard it was like two.
Oh, no.
But who knows? It may not be. It may be more than that. Anyway, start thinking of your questions now. Because we want to have a show where you get to interact with us and get to hear our opinions, our whatever.
Yeah, anything you want to ask, as long as it's not too inappropriate.
Yeah. You know.
And I put the asterisk next to the two, because, you know, we'll see where things go.
Yeah, we're definitely going to filter through them. So start thinking about it now. Remember, at Transpose Pod, at Robin Allura, you can direct message, and I will write them down. At Transpose Pod, at Spider's Lair, at Robin Allura, we'll all have a post probably this week. So yeah, we're gonna have that post put up so that way everybody can do that. So let's talk a little bit about today's show. Today's show is gonna be kind of
a little more serious.
More serious today. We're gonna talk about two pretty big topics here.
They're very related.
They actually are gonna blend into each other. One is the female revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit about, well, it'll be easier to explain when we get into it. The other one was being desirable without being harassed. And how, you know, how do you do that?
Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, as always, the weekly top five.
Uh-huh. A very fun one.
A very, very fun one. So, why don't we jump in and start talking about the female revelation?
So, what I want, where I kind of, what I kind of was picturing this to be, is Robin and I are both trans women, which means we're male to female.
Correct.
Means we were assigned male at birth. That basically means sometime around the age of 12, our dicks started doing all the thinking for us. Like all the other guys on the planet, and that means that we had some, well, we got to experience what it's like to be a dude.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now, testosterone is a piece of shit, and a hard-on is not a fun thing to have, unless you're sticking it somewhere. But I wouldn't know. Anyways.
Wow, this is already taking a turn, Sal.
No. It's literally what I'm getting at is we can come at this from the perspective of guys who look at girls as girls.
Yes.
And I want to say, you know, explore our curiosities. That's a nice way of saying, you know, thinking things.
Okay.
And so I wanted to kind of explore from that perspective, you know, like, realizing when did we start to realize that, oh shit, women are people, for starters, and
day one.
Okay, good. And you know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you mean.
And you know what, once you start transitioning, you start to see the world more through a woman's eyes, and you see things you didn't catch before.
Right.
And that really hit me like a week ago when I was with someone. I was with a female and a male, and we were just doing a regular, you know, just doing a regular activity, nothing out of the ordinary, and the guy couldn't take his eyes off of her tits. And I was like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
And it didn't even faze her. She was just like, you know, what? She's just doing her business. And I was like, wow.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what this topic really is. It's, you know, yes, we were born male.
Mm-hmm.
We're transitioning to the female. Now, I think if this particular topic does focus a little more heavily on trans women than it does the trans community as a whole, but it is something that we find is important and is not really talked about. Because when you're transitioning, like you said, as a guy, we look at things a certain way. And we see women in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of how we're programmed. But now as we transition, to me, at least this topic is, you kind of suddenly get this whole, hey, wait. All these things that they say are kind of true.
Yeah.
To me, like, it's like women are treated different. Women are not looked at by a lot of men
mm-hmm.
as equals. Now, that doesn't mean that Stephanie and I before treated women any different than, you know, a normal individual.
I grew up in a home with all sisters.
Yeah.
So I automatically, like, treated my sisters like people.
Yeah.
But where I was going with this is when you're in the moment and you have the biological urges, your brain shuts off, your hormones take over, and you don't necessarily see women the same.
See, I don't necessarily think that's the case. At least again, not for me. No.
But it's pretty common though for me.
It's extremely common.
It's and I mean, I'm not saying, oh, you know, we just think of women as sexual partners, but it's on your mind almost all the time.
Well, I mean, it is, but there's also deeper things to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, this whole revelation, you know, when I say that, I, for sure, thought, you know, they say the things like women aren't treated the same in the workplace. Get paid lower. They have less opportunities. They're passed over promotions. You know, the way that they're dressed is judged. Their standards of beauty. And for me, yeah, I always understood that that was kind of a thing, but it was more of a, my view on it was, yeah, it's a thing. Sorry. Don't know what else to say about it. But now, we kind of get to live that.
Yes.
And so that is a massive culture shock.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when you declare yourself a trans woman, you've forfeited your voice in the workplace, more or less. You got
in a lot of places.
You got to fight to get it back. Because you're also, you got to tippy-toe around the stereotypes.
Right.
The, you know, trans people stereotypes, LGBT stereotypes, and of course, women stereotypes.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff. You got to kind of, it's like a balancing act, kind of.
I think it's more than a balancing
act. It's kind of like that game where you got the lasers everywhere and you're trying to zigzag your way through the lasers. And if you touch the laser, you know, the saw's going to come out of the ground and cut you in half.
Yeah. You know, there's one example I wanted to talk about that is a massive revelation, and you've talked about it. I haven't had to deal with it yet because I haven't changed all my legal name and gender marker yet, but you did, and I think it's a perfect example mm-hmm. of this revelation, and that was when you changed your name and gender marker and your auto insurance skyrocketed.
Doubled, people. I went from male to female. That's the only thing that changed, and my insurance doubled.
Yeah.
Doubled.
And it's something that, and they told honestly, me, it's bullshit.
And they told me it's because women aren't very good drivers.
And see, that's where I want to get at.
It's
because
like, but I was,
you were,
I was conditioned you were male.
Yeah.
And the stereotype is female, that male drivers are the ones who are aggressive.
Yes.
So
but
I asked,
they pay less.
And I inquired about that, and they said, apparently, when you're under 26, males pay more for insurance because they're impulsive. But then when you're over that, once you get over that, women pay more for insurance because they're,
supposedly worse drivers, more accident prone.
I think it was distracted easier.
And that's all bullshit. You know, I'm going to be honest. When
it's
I drive
like we're
down
all driving
road,
around doing our makeup and hair while, okay, well, I should. While we're driving, I mean, I do sometimes play with my hair on.
Well, there's a difference.
I know.
But distracted driving, you know, let's face it. What is one of the leading causes of accidents today? Texting and driving.
Yes.
I guarantee you, I see, and when I'm driving, I see way more dudes texting while driving than I see women driving.
And this was just one of the examples. And it was a big one because I was expecting my insurance to go down, or I wasn't expecting no change at all, because they said, oh, we don't base it on that. They told me that when I said, well, will my rate change? And they said, no, it's not going to change because we don't base it on, you know, your sex.
But it
does.
They
say sex, they don't say gender.
But they do. And mm-hmm. what's bullshit, in my opinion here, is that should not be, because, let's face it, their data that they're basing this off of is so antiquated. And I mean, let's face it, it's antiquated and skewed.
It's kind of like the pink tax a little bit. It's one of those things where it penalizes women for no good reason based on a whole bunch of false assumptions.
Uh-huh.
And the actual reality is nothing changed. The government gave me a piece of paper that said I'm a woman now. I didn't go get an operation. I didn't physically become a woman. Nothing changed, but they're like, well, we're going to double your insurance.
And they shouldn't. And we talk a lot about things like...
if it was based on any of those biological things, it shouldn't have changed anyways, because biologically, I'm still technically a male. I mean, for the most part, I'm transitioning.
I mean, yeah.
But I'm not far enough along to be able to say biologically I'm a woman.
Right.
Although, you know, the estrogen makes me batshit crazy. That's for sure.
It makes us both batshit crazy, trust me. So, but yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things we talk about in other topics. We've talked about, like, discrimination based on that, on genders and stuff like that. And women do have it a lot harder. And the whole insurance thing is just case in point that this should not be. But it's a major revelation. You know, it's one thing to go, I feel sorry that women don't have the same status, equal rights, treated the same by everybody. But then when you live it and you actually slide in to doing that while you transition, you go from, yeah, sorry, wish I could help, to, what in the fuck is this? Let's burn the whole damn system to the ground. And it's insane. Now, I will say this. You and I have both been kind of lucky in one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our jobs.
Yeah, well, current.
Currently. So, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I am considering myself a full-time podcaster and freelance photographer, which is a nicer way than saying I'm an unemployed housewife. Mm-hmm. I left my job that I was at. Now, number one, it wasn't a great job anyway, and it didn't pay much. But I left before I came out. But I can almost guarantee you, because of the industry it was in being so male-dominated, that had I stayed, I probably would not have gotten any promotions or anything else. Had I been looking for that. So I've kind of been lucky in that aspect. I do expect to, you know, as I look for work, for other things to do, which, again, go to the Patreon so I can stop doing that. I expect what I made before, they're not going to offer me.
No.
Nothing has changed. My work ethic, my experience, my knowledge, nothing. But I guarantee you that I will never make what I made before.
One of my last employers, I won't identify, but one of my last employers was in the media business. And there's a website that people in the business go to report the market they're in and how much money they make. It's anonymous. You don't say which establishment you work for. You just say your job title and how much money you make. And in every instance, it didn't matter experience, it didn't matter age, it didn't matter anything. In every instance, every line I went through, the man made more money than the woman. There were news reporters with 6 months experience making more money than people who were higher up the chain than news reporters. Women who were higher up the chain than just news reporters.
And that
pissed me off. And that was, we had this conversation at one of my employers because, you know, before I started transitioning, that was a question I had, is like, well, as a man, I enjoy that benefit. But if I become a woman, am I cutting myself off from future raises? Are they going to demote me? What's going to happen? Well, I'm not legally allowed to talk about what happened at my last job because I signed an NDA. I can say I started my transition at my last job and things got complicated and I'm no longer there.
Complicated is putting it mildly.
But that's as much as I can say legally without getting sued.
Right. And we're not going to get you sued because, you know, we ain't got no money.
But I can say I no longer work there and it was a lot of shit.
And it's just eye-opening.
And I saw that everywhere I worked.
I know.
I mean, it didn't matter what your position was, you know? And I saw a lot of this even as a reporter doing stories because I would see, like, you know, you look at governments and you get to see what they pay different positions, you know? And you'd see, you know, one person, the head of one department, a man, making twice as much money as a woman, the head of a more important department. I saw that on a lot of spreadsheets. And you're looking at data and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how can I turn this into a story? And your editor's like, no, that's just not.
Right.
You know?
But it's something.
Unless someone's willing to come forward and talk about disparities, they're not going to quote. If you got no one to quote, there's no story. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I want to put that out there. And people like say, journalists won't do this story, that story. If we don't have anyone to quote, we cannot do the story because we cannot be the source.
Right. But on the plus side, you're not a journalist anymore.
That's right. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
But still, I mean, it's something that I know in our community is not talked about. We don't talk about this. We don't talk about that sudden moment when you have that revelation that, damn, women really do have it rough. Now, in our current state of things, and I can honestly say this is the same for us here in the States, and it's happening a little bit over in the UK and even in certain places in Europe and other places around the world. We trans women, we're fighting kind of a double battle here, because not only are we fighting to be seen as women, you know, but we're fighting for our existence. So people are not wanting to see us as women or as trans. So it makes it even harder. So we have the struggle of women, and we have the struggle of trans.
Yes.
And I just kind of want to put this out there. That really breaks my heart, because when you start thinking about it for our community, you start compiling and piling on and piling on and piling on the different minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heartbreaking because as you start adding in those things, the struggle gets harder and harder and harder.
I mean, if you're an African American trans woman, you're fucked in this country.
Yes. And that's
and most
straight.
Most likely going to get arrested for something you didn't do, harassed by the cops, or killed by a date, or raped or assaulted or who knows what. Your life's going to be miserable, and we feel for you.
Well, and we, yeah, I mean, it's just it's a rough, it's a heartbreaking thing. It's not rough, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you see the stories all the time.
All the time, and it's bullshit. Honestly,
and
I'm trying not to get angry.
This is on top of the normal bullshit all black people have to go through in this country.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, what the fuck are we doing?
And it's a revelation that I don't know how many, because we trans individuals, trans men, trans women, we try to celebrate everything that makes us unique. And when we celebrate everything, sometimes we forget to talk about the struggles. And this is a huge one.
Yeah.
I don't know if things are easier for trans men. Because, well, let's face it, I'm not one.
Nope.
And I don't really hang out with any. But I don't know. I can imagine as hard a time as trans women have. I can just imagine that trans men have a hard time being just trans, but I mean, it is a male-dominated world, and we've talked about the double standard. We've talked about it and the different acceptances, but I think it's pretty hard. But this is something that
I think it's deeper than that, because a lot of it was you're not just realizing what women go through is real. You're starting to realize that we are going to go through that ourselves.
Absolutely.
And you're starting to feel, I'm going to say the oppression, but you're also starting to feel women get belittled.
Absolutely.
I have had people that would not have corrected the other guy mansplain things to me that I know better than them.
Yes.
And I'm like, people that knew me.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait. I mean, I'm flattered that you see me as a woman, sure.
But I don't want you to talk down to me. I know.
And I have seen it. I was like, I had to tell somebody recently, I was like, you know, I went to college, right? I was a journalist. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, she says that to me all the time.
Well, that's different. But it was one of those deals where somebody was just like, and I'm not going to say who or what the situation was, but it was like, it was like they were trying to make me feel like I didn't know shit. And I'm like, first of all, I know a lot about things. I just, you know, sometimes life sucks for trans women, so I have a bit of a sense of humor as a way to deflect how much it hurts sometimes. Because my heart isn't broken just for me. It's for all of us that are out there suffering, especially the fucking little kids that are suffering right now or struggling or fighting the fight. Kids shouldn't have to be fighting political fights, and they are.
And it's sad.
And that's why I use humor as a way to kind of deflect, because if I didn't, I'd be crying non-stinking stop.
Yeah. But we do get this, you do get that revelation that you're going to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be people out there that are listening that they're going to stop after this episode, and they're going to think about something that has happened to them recently. And they're going to go, holy shit, this thing happened to me.
When I was younger, before I went to college, I have a sister who did go to college before I did. And she studied anthropology. And she's really big on Native American culture. And she started explaining to me all the... She's very hardcore feminist. Now, she's a third wave feminist, so she's very accepting of trans women. There's different waves of feminism. The early feminists kind of are like, nah, they're the ones we call TERFs. They don't like us, the older ones. But a lot of the newer feminists, they who don't subscribe to their philosophies, have really accepted that gender is made up in a lot of ways. And she was trying to explain that to me. And, you know, it was another one of those, you know, like where you don't really believe you have white privilege until it's taken away from you. You really start to realize that, oh, shit, women definitely don't have the same, are not treated the same as men in this country. Because I was telling her, Stacey, you've got it made. Women, like, automatically are candidates for things that men, you know, have to fight for because, you know, the affirmative action and all this bullshit, because I just quoted her all the talking points that you hear all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't understand. Like, you get these, you know, she herself got a free ride through college and she didn't really do much of anything. I'm not putting her down or anything. I'm saying she didn't even graduate high school. She was locked up. And so this was how she got her scholarship. And so I was like, you didn't earn it. The state gave it to you. So I was just, now I talked to her and I've since learned that she earned it. She worked her ass off to get it. They didn't just give it to her.
No.
Because they probably could have just put her in jail and threw away the key.
Very much so.
But I'm not going to say what she did or what her past is. But, you know, I will say that she, you know, her and I grew distant for a while because my sister that I'm currently feuding with doesn't see me as a woman because she's conservative. So she had that women are supposed to be submissive to men attitude. So she fit into that. So she reinforced a lot of that with me. My sister was telling me, no, this is how it's supposed to be. It's God's way. So I was just like, I shrugged it off because my parents were the same way. My mom was like, no, you know, dad's the man of the house, blah, 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 and everything. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yep. Broken old stereotypes.
And then, you know, when they got in, when my baby sister got married, she was the same way. She's like, let her husband make all the decisions. She's like, well, he's my husband. He's, you know, he supports me and everything. And I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, none of my business. And then I joked one time. I said, maybe I should get me a man to take care of me. And my dad was like, don't you even talk like that. And I was like, well, I would have to be a woman first. But, you know, oops. But, you know, and that was the thing. It was like, your choice is be a housewife and just let your husband take care of you. Have all of the babies that you're biologically capable of having or raising all the ones that he adopts. Or it's go out and work three jobs just to make as much money as the guy working half time.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Those are your choices.
I'll take what's behind door number three, please.
What is door number three, Robin?
Door number three is the wonderful fictional paradise where everybody is treated equally based upon their merits and experience levels in work.
Where we have a leprechaun in the White House and we ride on rainbows to the Skittle Mountain.
Well, I'm diabetic, so don't take me to Skittle Mountain.
But your diabetes won't work here, see?
Oh, wait, that's right. I'm magically cured. Yeah. So
that's option number three.
Yeah, that's option number three.
Or the actual reality getting serious is suicide, which is what a lot of trans women turn to.
And it is. And it's very, very sad. And we need to tackle that. But today we don't have have enough time to tackle the whole suicide thing.
But it's because women are automatically, and I had some women who, females tell me this, friends of mine tell me recently, that they actually support these bills that separate trans women from women in sports. And their reasoning was, women are already at a disadvantage. Why let trans women in? Well, trans women are at even a further disadvantage. Because here you have a trans woman who can't play on the boys' team, and they won't let her play on the women's team. And there's not enough of us to go. People say, well, why don't you go start a trans league? There's not enough fucking trans women in the world to start a trans league. You might have two, maybe three in your whole goddamn school district.
That's true. I mean, we've talked about this before. What are the odds two trans people run into each other just on the street?
Just starting.
It's insane.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't. And it is a disadvantage. But the revelation that, you know, now we have not just the struggle of being trans, but mm-hmm. we have the struggle of being women.
Yeah, and
it's honestly, it's a lot.
I have, swear to God, every time I go to the gas station, some guy cuts in front of me. Every time.
I think less of that has to be the fact that you're trans or a woman, and that just the area we live is full of douche rockets.
But I've seen it. They cut guys cut women off.
Yeah.
They stop them. They cut them off mid-sentence and talk over them. Cut in line. Push them out of the way. Oh, they'll hold the door open for them, and then they'll run right past them once they get inside.
Yep.
It's just like, I've seen it all the time, and it's like, excuse me, I was standing right here.
Yeah. It is. It's insane. But let's talk about something, another revelation. And pay attention, everybody, because mm-hmm. this is where the two blend together.
Yeah.
Watch this segue.
Uh-oh. Oh, can I?
Here's the revelation that we also have as trans women. And it's how there is a pre-programmed
mm-hmm.
thing somehow into the male brain, like Stephanie was talking about, because of whatever it is, hormones or whatever.
Or all the blood going down south.
That at women, and now trans women, and trans women's a little crazier, are not seen as people, but objects, mm-hmm. as things, as something to be ogled and stared at, and used in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, and one thing that trans women, all of us, struggle with, and I'm not going to say just trans women, and because, let's face it, all women struggle with this too, mm. is
even the ones who are trans men who have to be, who have to live as women for temporarily.
Right. Is that dysphoria. Okay? And we try to figure out for ourselves what our definition of female, male, whatever we're transitioning into, what the definition of beautiful is. And some of it, we pick the wrong things to aspire to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we move into things that we feel that others want us to be. You know, I see it all the time where people think that in order to get any sort of attention from a potential partner, they need to be 5 foot nothing, blonde hair, double D boobs, and an ass you can bounce a quarter off of. And that's not always true. You have to figure it out. So the question then becomes, because we get told we have to be this definition of beautiful to be accepted.
Yeah, and one of the things that a lot of trans women, and I've seen it on Twitter all the place, we struggle with is you want other trans women to accept you as trans. And right. You want to be able to feel feminine enough that it subsides your dysphoria.
Right.
So that you feel good about yourself. But you don't want the pervs swooping in and talking about your tits. Or...
You don't want to become what I call jerk bait.
No. So
the question becomes,
how do you become desirable? Harassed?
Right. How do you be desirable without being harassed or objectified?
And
that's a toughie. Because something I notice is as trans women, we gravitate towards, I don't want to say role models or I can't even think of the word. But when we think about standards of beauty, we look at, well, we need to be this, and we either go after, you know, celebrities who have personal trainers that come up and they work out 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, and they don't do anything, but that's all they do, and they look amazing, and they're, you know, for trans women, big-chested, some in some cases, skinny waist, perfect proportionate, you know, hourglass figures, and... I will say this. I do know that there's a small portion of the trans women of our community that their standard happens to be adult film stars. And it's kind of a strange idolization without actually idolizing them. It's you want to look like that. Why do we gravitate towards that? I have a theory. And the theory is, we gravitate towards that because they're on camera having intimate relations. They're on camera having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us relate sex and love. If we're having sex, it's usually with someone we love, right?
That's
not necessarily.
No,
but,
I'm saying that's the stereotype.
That's the stereotype
idea
that we're programmed with.
Yeah, that's what you know.
Right?
I don't want to say that's the goal, but that's what, you know.
So when you see that, it's not hard to jump to, well, if I looked like her, I could have sex. And if I have sex, I'm going to have someone who's going to love me. And I mean, this is not, it's not, not always the case, but it's just something that I've run into a lot when I talk to people.
One of the things that for me, that really changed after I really started presenting in public. I'm not going to say the name, but the other guy, I've never wanted to get my picture taken. You don't take my picture. And I would yell at you. I would throw things at you. I would break your camera. Don't fucking take my picture. He hated his picture taken. Why? Well, for one, I didn't find myself attractive. I had no self-esteem. But two, I wanted to be a woman. I didn't want pictures of this dude out there that were going to be out there forever that I can't erase. So I was adamant about don't take my picture. Now, Robin will tell you, I take selfies all the time.
All the time.
I love getting my picture taken, and it isn't because...
It's almost annoying.
It isn't because, oh my God, I want people to love me, or look how pretty I am. It's like, for me, it's sharing with people the journey I'm on. And
yes.
It feels good to be able to say, hey, I feel comfortable enough now to be able to wear this
yes.
to work, or this in public. And I'm asking my, you know, female followers or trans followers, what do you think? And I'm not fishing for compliments, but I'll welcome them.
Absolutely. What we all do.
I'm fishing for feedback. Tell me, how does this look? But also like, hey, I finally got the confidence to wear a dress without pants.
Absolutely.
Or I'm finally able to wear shorts in public. Or those cute overalls I wear every Saturday. That before I would never wear overalls because I was just like, eh, grody. But now I'm like, yay, I love them.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, we shouldn't be afraid to share those things, those selfies. Now, I will admit, I was putting selfies up, yes, because I'm not where I want to be. I filter it with Snapchat. Love that filter. My problem with my selfies, and the reason I stopped doing it, and the reason I took all mine down, was my selfies started ending up on accounts that were sexual in nature. Well, number one, ain't nobody going to be jerking their meat to this.
No.
Okay? That's disrespectful. I see how some dude bros, think of it as it's a compliment. Well, we think you're cute enough. We think you're sexy enough. No. No. But what actually got me to do it a little bit more than that was the fact that nobody could respect me as a photographer. But, you know, I mean, that's not what we're looking for. We want to be desirable. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always good when we hear that we look good.
Yeah.
You know, trans women, I'm going to say to all the trans women I get to talk to on a daily basis. First off, love every one of you. Trans women are the greatest at supporting each other and building each other up and going, when we share a selfie, we're not looking for compliments only. It trans women will have no problem going, hey, you look good, but your hair's a little tangled. Hey, try this camera angle and you might be happier with your selfie, but you still look great. And we build each other up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so hard because one of the things we have to deal with, and this is how I feel. I don't know how you feel about this, Steph, but I feel there's a lot of people out there that look at trans women as, especially creepers and dudes, look at us as an experimental thing. When they're questioning themselves or they're curious, they kind of see us as something that they can...
They fetishize us.
That's the word.
They do. It goes back all the way to Clerks when they were talking... I forget his name. Dante or whatever it was. Or Randall? Randall. When Randall was telling him, you got to check out this movie. It's like hermaphroditic porn, chicks with dicks. And he was just like, it's the coolest thing ever. And
I hate was, that, by the way. I hate hearing that, chicks with dicks.
And it was like, the first time I heard that, I was like, nothing you just said is right.
Nothing.
Nothing. And then like two movies later, he's doing Chasing Amy, but it was like Kevin Smith was definitely... Anyways, but yeah, that like guys get that way when they're talking about their fetishes. They get all hyped up, and that's when you're not a person anymore.
No.
You're just whatever it takes to get them to their ejaculation.
And that's something I think that we run into, the trans community runs into a lot, and that's is being kind of just objectified as, you know, and then we get harassed.
Yeah.
Because they put us into a standard of beauty.
And not just that, like you have guys who, if you are attractive and they see you as attractive and then they find out you're trans, they go through that whole 10 minutes ago they wanted to bone you, now they want to strangle you because they have to stop and question themselves and they hate that.
Yes. They do, and it's such a struggle because their default is to tear us down.
And I know we have friends who are guys,
yeah,
who may or may not listen to this show, and we don't want to say you're all disrespectful. But I've hung out with some of these guys when I was still, you know, undercover, we'll say.
I like that.
And I was sitting in a room with a bunch of guys who were drinking beer and watching pornos, and one of my friends stuck his hand down his pants and just went to town with a group of guys in the room, and I was just like, okay, I'm stepping outside.
Oh, good Lord. That's a weird place to be.
Well, it happens.
That's just wrong.
Well, Nevada is a weird state, by the way.
Yeah.
But I've been around guys who would just say things. You hear them say things and you're like, that's a person you just said that about.
Yeah.
It's not just I'd hit that or I'd fuck her. It's, oh, what I want to do. And then they tell you all these things that it's like, you don't do that to human people.
Exactly. So the question becomes, how do we balance these two things? How do we balance out what we decide is desirable without being harassed?
And this is an open question. This is an open question to our cisgendered female friends too. How the fuck do you do it?
I mean, I've seen so many of them just, so many women just go, whatever, it's a thing, fuck off. I mean, it's...
And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, you realize, I mean, you know guys are pigs, but yep. You don't realize
how
bad they are. It's like, as soon as they go in their mind, whether they knew you pre-transition or not, as soon as they see you as a woman, their behavior changes around you. Often.
Yeah.
Often.
Often. Not,
gonna
not
say,
always.
I'm not going to say always, because there are some gentlemen out there, I would say. You know, there's some decent
Well, we
dudes.
We know a few of them that they really haven't,
but you know, at the opposite end of that is when you have a guy who knew you as a guy or thinks of you as a guy, and they're a little too comfortable with things, and you're like, "Hello, I'm a girl." Remember?
Are we speaking from nope. experience?
Moving on.
Oh, dodge that question, girl. Dodge that question.
No comment.
Oh, I'll make a comment. Yes, you
it
have.
It is. And it was one of those that after we had a conversation, it was just kind of like, okay, cool, calm down. Okay,
cool.
Please calm
yeah.
down. Yes. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, yeah, there may have been some grudging on one of our ends. Oopsie.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why I wanted to talk about this topic, because I was sitting there having a conversation with this guy that is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, he is kind of cute. And obviously I was crushing on him. I mean, he knows, Robin knows this isn't a secret.
No.
Anyone who's hung out with me knows this isn't a secret.
And the neighborhood knows.
And so I was right in the middle of, yes, I want you to see me as a woman, which means I want you to see me as fuckable, goddammit. But also, treat me like a lady.
See, and now that's the thing that you've got to work on there, because I want to be seen as a woman, but I don't want to be seen as that.
I want a guy, whoever it is, to be able to see me as a desirable mate.
Okay, that's
not
better.
Just fuckable, but I was going along with the topic.
How about desirable mate?
And the truth of it is, and I'm gonna get a little personal, if you're okay with that.
Oh no.
The truth of it is, we had a conversation where I basically had to say, knock it off, because he was telling me about his porn habits, and I was like, I don't need to know. And then since then, you know, I made some inappropriate comments when we first met.
Oh,
so
I gave
the wrong impression.
Course.
But we, you know, part of that was I was flirting, but also I was hopped up on hormones. And you know, that'll be another topic for another day, because I found out girl horny is so different than guy horny. And I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, let's gloss over that part. We'll circle back around.
I can tell you right now, all I'll say is I can't get guy horny anymore. Thank God.
Yes, very much so.
Woo.
But I think yeah.
But it was still I felt that. I was like, I felt that struggle, and I want to call it a struggle, because I'm going to date hopefully soon at some point, men or women, I haven't decided yet. you know, maybe a non-binary person, maybe somebody who flip-flops. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't really, and I did discover I don't care what your genitals are. You know what? It's okay. I don't really care. You know, if they're compatible or not, we'll I got hands. We'll make it work.
has someone discovered over there that they may be pan?
Perhaps. We're getting there. I don't know yet. I've been called that by somebody else in the community who suggested that. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know yet. But I want to be able to be close with someone, be intimate with, and I want them to see me as attractive,
yes,
desirable, mateable, if you will.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, respect, treat me like a person.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, the reason why this really kind of, it really... The whole becoming a woman and discovering that men suck kind of thing, the reason why it really, I want to say offended me, was because the other guy was a nice guy. I treated women right, you know, because I wanted to be one. And so I went on dates with girls and I was polite and I treated them with respect. And, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't, you know, do the thing that we do when no one's around, but I'm going to say I was respectful about it. I didn't go telling my friends what I did.
You kept it to yourself. And
yes.
You shut your mouth.
Yes.
You did it. And you moved on.
Right. But I definitely... I fit that... I'm using quotes here. Nice guys finish last trope.
Everybody do your air quotes.
I absolutely did, because the other guy... Well, I mean, he was a woman pretending to be a guy.
Yes.
And so I was very... You know, and I have women tell me that all the time. Like, you just got to man up. You're never going to get a girl if you don't get some confidence. I had women tell me that all the time. Female friends, not girls I dated. Girls that knew me. Friends that knew me. Sisters, cousins, coworkers. Like, you just got to man up. Sack up. Balls up. Whatever phrase they used. It was all the same. It was basically be a dude. Take charge. And I wasn't programmed for that, because for one, I'm kind of a doormat, if you haven't noticed.
Yep, noticed.
And also because, you know, I have no self-esteem. So I'm always trying to please other people. I want everybody around me to feel comfortable. So I, you know, okay, I always accommodate everybody. And I know when you're a guy, that's okay, because then you're just, you know, you're the nice guy. Everybody thinks you're a cool guy. When you're a girl, that can potentially put you in a position of where you can run into some trouble.
Yes.
You cannot let guys walk all over you, because they will
take total advantage of you.
Yes.
And in a lot of ways.
And I had somebody tell me recently, when I was replaying some of the, you know, recanting some of those conversations I was having at the time, when I still thought there may be something romantic with this guy. And she's like, no, you got to end it right now. You just got to be friends.
Yep.
And me and this guy came to that conclusion on our own, you know, and I'm not going to lie. I'm relieved, because we've had better conversations since I took the pressure off, you know, so.
Yeah, because you put a lot of pressure on that one.
Well, I mean, he's cute. I mean, I hope you're listening. He's cute. He knows I think he's cute. I told him.
I don't think he's listening.
You don't think he's that cute, but you're married, so you're not allowed to.
I wouldn't even if I wasn't married.
He's nerd cute, okay? He's like, he's not fat. He's kind of adorable. He's kind of goofy.
No.
I will shut up now.
You're going to make it weird for me to be in the same room with him.
I am over it, by the way, if you didn't believe me.
Jesus.
No, but seriously, I think that we really do struggle with the same thing that cis women struggle with, and it is wanting to be respected, but also wanting to be swept off our feet.
I agree. I agree.
I do. I want to be the woman in the relationship. I don't care who I'm dating. I want you to treat me like the woman. I'm not going to say the word, but, you know, I'll be, you know, I won't say be the wife, but I'll be the, you know, submissive one, if you will. You know, for the most part, I'll still take charge when necessary. I'll make decisions.
See, and that's the thing, is like, for me and AJ is, you know, let's face it, anybody who knows us, I'm the damsel in the relationship. And it works. It works. But, yeah, I mean, it's an open question. And how the question is, How do you be how do you balance being desirable without being harassed?
I don't know if
there
is an answer. I mean,
they're very well.
Women
may
have
not
been
be.
Fighting this since God gave Adam a naked woman in the Garden of Eden and said, "Have fun."
So then the question. So then I guess what we need to be asking is, how do you be comfortable with that while you reach your goal, and why, and how do you make that all realistic?
I think part of it is just figuring out who you are.
I think that's spot on. Is when
you got to know your limits.
You got to know who you are, I think that's the key. Once you figure that out, who you are and what your voice is, I think that really is the big key to solving that question. Because even I will say this, that question varies. The answer varies from every individual.
Mm-hmm.
Every trans woman's going to have a different answer. Every cisgendered woman is going to have a different answer. But yeah, I think that's something that we just all have to find our voice and keep on moving. So
it's like, I was watching that show, How I Met Your Mother. And the two women on the show, they were having a conversation and they were talking about, and I'm not going to set the stage or anything, but they were basically talking about how unfeminist it is to be sexy. But the one girl was like, yeah, but being, when a guy calls you hot, you still kind of like it.
You do.
So it was kind of, and I'm not going to be able to set the stage. I'm not going to go like, I don't remember the specifics of the episode, but it was one of those.
Don't pay us to.
No, these are women who were born with vaginas who were sitting there talking about how like, yeah, we want you to know that we're not just what's in our pants. But also, you know, thank you for calling me hot.
Thank you for calling. Yeah.
And it was just like, and obviously that show's written by men, but it's like still, women have some feedback, and we know how society is. You know?
Yeah. So.
And by the way, the journalist on the show, the hot chick, her name is Robin. Yeah, gotcha.
Well, I mean, you know,
it was prophetic.
It is prophetic.
But anyways, yeah, I think you just have to figure out who you are and what you really want. I personally, I'm still exploring. I'm still discovering. It may take me a while. I may never find it. I don't know. But
I think you will. It's just going to take a while.
I'm going to have fun trying to figure it out.
Yep. That is always part of the fun, is figuring it out.
And it's just like, you know, like nothing ever happened with me and this guy, but it just was fun fantasizing about it. It was fun talking to him.
Yeah.
Even though we talked about things that I didn't get.
Yeah.
I let him lead the conversation.
That was your first mistake. Mm. All right. So I think it's time we lighten the mood.
Okay.
So, yes, it's time once again.
We need some
to
dice.
To raise the level of our conversation. And we are going to present this week's top five. Stephanie, what is this week's top five?
Well, I was going to roll some dice, but I can't find any. So I'm just going to say it. It's board games.
Board games!
We're sitting at a board game table. This is where we play our board games. Well,
hey.
Not just board games.
This is not a board game table. This is a table built and designed for the...
Listen to the nerd talk
for playing...
Now. Listen to the nerd talk.
Tabletop, non-collectible, miniature army games.
She's talking to someone who calls her Transformer dolls. And it pisses her off. And I'm like, the word action figure was just a masculine form of the word doll because boys don't play with dolls. But anyways, let's talk about our top five.
Top five.
Board games.
Board games.
Yeah, I love
number
board games.
Number five, Steph, what's yours?
I, as often is the case, cheated a little bit.
Of course. It wouldn't be a top five if you didn't cheat.
Well, I love Dungeons & Dragons. But Dungeons and Dragons is not technically a board game.
No.
But there are variations that are.
Yes.
But I put down, and I put in parentheses with my little tilde that I put at the end of most of my sentences, because I love that little thing. Because it's, you know, I don't know. Anyways, Dungeons and Dragons games, but I'm saying any fantasy RPG type board game. So this can be like Call of Cthulhu, or this can be like the ones that reenact 8-bit Final Fantasy type dungeon crawlers or roguelikes or whatever. any game that you have monsters and miniatures and figurines and dice, and you have some type of fantasy element. I don't even care that much. It can be horror. It can.
There's
be,
one sitting right down here.
Yeah, just anything like that. And, but I'm lumping them all together. They're all equal to me. I mean, this is all. I don't care how many. I don't care. I just love it all. And if it's an actual D&D board game, yes, please.
Which they do make.
Yes, or they do make. World of Warcraft. I don't even care. Or that other one that you play. The
Warhammer.
One. Yeah, that one. Anyways, yeah, that's my favorite. That's one. That's my number five.
Okay, that's a good one. I actually, what I was referring to by there's actually one of over here is sitting right here at the edge of the table, on the floor is a copy of a Warhammer Age of Sigmar boxed board game. That's kind of what she was referring to.
Yeah.
So my number five is actually Trivial Pursuit.
Interesting.
And I like Trivial Pursuit. It's the exact reason everybody thinks. I like Trivial Pursuit because I like to be right.
Oh, of course.
But I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it because there's a whole bunch of different ones out there. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of different ones. I think I've got a Star Wars one and some.
Oh, we're totally playing ones. That after the show.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're not even arguing.
But but in the regular Trivial Pursuits and the non-themed ones, I find that I get to learn things.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to learn new facts and,
yep,
you know, random crap. And so it's really cool. And to me, that's a lot of fun. So, yeah, Trivial Pursuit's going to be my number five. What's your number four?
My number four is pretty simple. It's a marble game called Aggravation. Not everyone's heard of it, but it is a pretty popular game.
I hate that
What game. I like about Aggravation, first of all, I love the fact that it's marbles instead of pieces. That's kind of neat.
Yes.
Most board games are little pieces. Now, you know, Monopoly, as we all know, has its own, like, little miniature thingamabobs. Most of them are just, like, little pieces. But I think it's cool. Second of all, I love the pretty colors, Sumi. And I love that you play it on a star in a circle. It's like it's witchcraft. And it is just beautiful. You're playing a game of witchcraft, and it is like, yes, please. You're trying to get your guys out of hell into home. Woohoo!
I have flipped over the Aggravation board so many times. Nothing. There is no board game on the planet that makes me lose my cool faster than that one.
My favorite one is the one where it's a black background and it's got the, you know, like the blue and purple swirls for the you know, the board border, and it just looks like you're playing on a Ouija board.
All right, my number four is gonna not really be a surprise, but it's gonna be a surprise of where it is on the list because also,
the marbles are tasty.
Oh, Jesus. She had to go and ruin it, folks. Because of... There's a movie based on this board game, and that's like one of my all-time favorite movies.
I know where this is going.
And my number four is Clue.
All right.
Because I enjoy that... This is kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I like that trying to figure it out. I kind of feel like... kind of feel like one of the Bat family trying to solve the murder.
Yes.
And being the master detective.
Okay.
Trying to figure it out. And, you know, it's usually Colonel Mustard in the study with a
Do they have a Batman-themed Clue?
No!
Oh, my God! Do they have an Agatha Christie-themed one? I guess it is itself kind of Agatha Christie-themed.
I haven't seen one, but I've seen things like The Office, which really, I mean, who's going
to
kill them?
We'll have to Google. I had the Big Bang Theory one.
Yeah, and then there's like the Simpsons one was one I wanted to get.
I might even have that in my car, to tell you the truth.
Ooh. Well, we may be playing Clue later.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But yeah, that's my number four. Yeah, it's my number one favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is my number four favorite board game. It's just a lot of fun. And and it's hard as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Really is.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your number three?
Well, as you have to know, I am a horror fan.
Oh, Lord.
And I also love murder mysteries.
Lord.
Agatha Christie. I don't like the British guy who smokes coke, but we'll pass on that. What he really does.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes. Ugh. But I love Agatha Christie. And I love slasher movies. Slasher movies are some of my favorite movies of all time. And they have their roots in the murder mystery film, especially the Agatha Christie's.
Uh-huh.
And so my favorite board game if you're demented as I am, you can kind of sort of you're reenacting a murder. It is also Clue. I haven't been able to figure it out. But I love Clue because it starts off with blood and guts and violence and death and a dead body. And you're spending the whole night trying to prove to everybody it wasn't me, when it usually was.
Oh, it's always me.
No, I love Clue, and it's because, yes, it's got that murder mystery theme, and yes, it's got that whodunit, and you're trying to solve the puzzle, but it's also, it's a fucking horror film. It's a murder, and you are in the room. You are in the room with the murderer.
Yes.
And you don't know who it is.
You have no idea.
It could be you. It could be your neighbor. It could be grandma.
Yes.
And that is, I just love that about the game. The movie, not so much. I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. But I've only seen it once. But I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
There's a story behind why I've only seen it the once, but we'll pass on that for now.
So, okay, cool. Number three for you is Clue.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is Sorry.
And okay.
Why is Sorry my number three? Well, let's face it. I'm a bitch.
Okay.
And I just like going, sorry, not sorry.
No. And she's not sorry, by the way.
No, never. Never. When I say sorry, not sorry, that's legit. I'm not sorry. I always liked, to me, Sorry was not quite as aggravating as aggravation. But I get to be just as annoying.
Okay.
Sorry is my number three. What's your number two?
Well, before we go any further on that, I did a video series this past week on the Spider's Lair over on YouTube.
Your own podcast.
I did my five for fives, and I did my five favorite board games and my five that I hate. And Sorry made the list of games I hate. But where did it land on the list, and why do I hate it? Well, go check out my videos. Thank you very much. My number two...
Shameless plug. I'm so proud of you.
My number two is almost cheating, because it is kind of a board game, but it's also kind of a pen and paper game, depending on, you know, if you believe the Wikipedia, and also, you know, where its origin story. But it's actually Battleship, and the reason why I like Battleship is because it's so classic. You have two people who you have to trust are telling the truth, and they never are. Because I'm not going to tell you how I bend the rules, but I know how to win at Battleship every time.
Oh. Battleship is the easiest game to cheat at.
Oh, yeah, so much fun. But I love Battleship, and it's the only thing out of everything. And I mean out of everything, whether it's movies, whether it's cards, it's video games, or whatever. It's the only military-themed thing I like.
Okay.
It's true. It's legit. I mean, as far as it comes to the military, I don't want to get political, but I'm not a fan. So anything that glorifies the military, I'm like, but Battleship's pretty fun.
Okay. All right. That's good. So my number two is actually, I'm not going to go into and tell you, try to figure it out. No, I'm going to flat out tell you. It's Monopoly.
Oh, yeah. Very good game.
Now, I suck at Monopoly.
Oh, who doesn't?
I suck at it. I usually end up bankrupt. But no big deal. But why do I like Monopoly so much? I like Monopoly because there are so many different and awesome versions. Just a couple weeks ago, AJ and I went to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sit there and convince myself I did not need a Godzilla-themed Monopoly.
Oh,
and
God.
And the only argument I kept coming back to is, why do I need this? Was, but there's a Mecha Godzilla in it.
Ah, and it's even like, I want it.
I know, and it's like...
And I don't like Godzilla.
But it's like, I
was there Kong in it?
No Kong.
Oh.
This wasn't Kong, this was just Godzilla, like, well, old-school Kong, or old-school Godzilla.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, all the pieces were made of him. But, I mean, there's some by Nintendo, and...
I have five Monopoly games, and they're all different.
The Simpsons, there's Transformers, Godzilla.
I have two different Star Wars ones, and they're completely different. Two different ones, and they're completely different.
They're completely different, and that they do that all the time. And then there's some based on states, and
we live,
Beatles.
The city we live in has its own Monopoly game.
Yes.
The city we live in has its own Monopoly game.
I know it does.
That's fucking insane.
Insane.
There's so many fucking Monopoly games. It's insane. It's great.
But I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many of them, and it's like, the game really doesn't change, mechanics wise.
No, not really.
But it's cool to see them take, say, what was one I saw the other day? Crap. Like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And give this game the Game of Thrones flavor.
Yes.
You know, the Nintendo flavor, Transformers flavor, Marvel Comics flavors. And it's just really cool because then you start to think about it. You know why they have what they have on their boardwalk, things like that. But when you go through and you look at the boards and the different things they chose for the different spots, you start to wonder, well, how did they come to that? Well, I would have put this one here. I would have done this. And I think it's really just, it's really cool, even if I end up bankrupt.
True story.
It's really cool.
True story. When I worked at the newspaper, I got to do a story on one of those localized Monopoly boards coming to our town, and it was a lot of fun talking to the guy that designed that board game.
Yeah.
And I was just like, tell me how you picked these pieces. And I called the individual restaurants that he featured on the spaces, and I asked them, what did you think about being featured in a Monopoly game? And that was so exciting to hear somebody like, this was just totally random. They just popped in and said, hey, can we take a picture of your front door and put it on a Monopoly game? And they're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was just so, because it was like so weird and so like surreal to have this to be talking to this guy who designs board games, talking to this little news reporter in the middle of nowhere about this Monopoly board that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, but it's really fun. It's really cool. But I love that one. So yeah, Monopoly is going to be my number two just because of the variety and the flavors of different Monopoly.
God damn you.
So, Steph, what's your number one?
Well, you already know.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You've been chasing me this whole list.
Oh, my God.
My number one game is Monopoly, but for different reasons. Lots
okay,
of different.
I love what's your reason?
Everything you just said is awesome, and it's all true, and I love all of it. But also, my favorite video game is Minecraft. But the reason why Minecraft is my favorite video game is because, to me, it's a fairly good substitute for SimCity. And I love SimCity because it's a city-building game. And I'm kind of a nerd. When I was a news reporter, I covered City Hall. And I liked going to planning and zoning meetings. And I liked listening to them debate about, what are they going to do with this sidewalk over here? And where are they going to build this hotel over here? And so, for me, I love Monopoly because it is SimCity. It is Minecraft. It is building. It's planning and zoning brought to life. And
congratulations, you just ruined Monopoly for me and turned it into the most boring game ever.
And the funniest thing about it is it was so subversive because everybody loves Monopoly, but everybody supposedly hates all these things that Monopoly does. And the true story is, if you play Monopoly the way it's intended to be played, everybody bitches and moans about, oh my God, it takes forever. Not really. It's a 35-minute game if you play it the way according to the rules. No more than that, because the game is broken on purpose. It is designed by socialists who are trying to prove capitalism is broken. And if you play it according to the rules, I mean, like, to the T, it will not take you more than 35 minutes to an hour to play a game of Monopoly.
Because you're all broke.
Yeah, everyone, the way it is structured is the money will flow to one person really quickly, and then you're all going to be, you know, fucked. That's basically the 1%. It's that concept.
Yes.
1%. But everybody breaks it. And as soon as you break it, then the game is too balanced. And see, the game is unbalanced on purpose. So as soon as you balance it, which is what people do, they break it to balance it to make it fair. It's not supposed to be fair. It's supposed to be broken. And that's the crazy thing about Monopoly, is it's just this game that teaches you economics and planning and zoning and all this fun stuff without you actually knowing it's teaching you all this fun stuff.
Now I'm going to be like sleeping through it. And
now she's like, okay, let's re-record this and let's not talk about Monopoly. And she'll come up with some other game.
No, but now when I play my Transformers Monopoly, it's going to be Unicron.
I need to build a new street on Iacon Lane. And where am I going to get the Energon cubes to fund it?
Oh my God, you are going to just... You are the worst to play games with. You really are. I love you a lot, sister, but oh my God, you ruined so many things for me.
Educating you is not ruining.
Yes, it is. Elevating your intellect. I beg to differ.
Elevating your intellect. And I'm the goofy one.
Yeah. Great. So my number one is going to be a very obscure game.
Okay.
It's a game that I keep hoping I'm going to see reprinted.
Please don't say Mousetrap.
It's not Mousetrap.
Oh, thank God.
Because they reprint that one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But this one was made when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. this is one of the few things from my childhood that I absolutely love. Now, this was in the time when board games had motorized themes.
Okay.
There were games like the race where you had the fish and the shark would chase you. And
oh,
you,
I forgot about that.
Things like that. But this one I'm going to describe. There was a board. I guess I should tell everybody the title, huh? This was called Back Off Buzzard.
Ooh, I do remember that.
Okay. And you had a board and you had a few pieces and they were cut in a certain way so that they basically had these little like hook places.
Mm-hmm.
And you had in the center was a giant Aztec styled, pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, William, I don't give a shit what the actual name of it's called. I know you're listening, you punk ass. he corrected me recently on that. That's why I'm telling him. But on top of it, there was a rod that comes off mm-hmm. the thing that sticks off the deal. And there was a giant plastic vulture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it looked like the cartoon vulture, you know, head, neck, big frilly thing. Mm-hmm. And what you did was you walked, you rolled your dice, you moved your thing, you push a button, and the buzzard would spin. And he'd go round and round, and randomly he would drop and pick up the person and go drop them at start. And you'd have to go all the way back. And the whole goal is to get all the way around the board, which was big for a board game, and up the pyramid. And that game was so much fun and so aggravating. But damn it, I loved it. It would be like, I know every time my character got picked up, every time you would think, oh, I can't win this game. I would laugh and laugh. And it's just one of those very few things about my childhood I cherish. So Hasbro, Mattel, University Games, Winning Moves, any of you guys, if there's anybody who works for any of those companies listening to us, fat chance, right?
You never know.
Reprint that for me. Hell, even if you're just gonna send your girl one copy, I would die to have a reprint of that. Would love it, because I have nieces and nephews that I think would just, they'd enjoy the hell out of it. And it was just so much fun. Everybody's on an equal playing ground. You never knew when the damn bird was going to come down and what it was going to grab, if it grabbed anything. But that was my number one. That was okay. Back Off Buzzard, and I loved that game.
I do remember seeing commercials for it.
I remember
And I
those.
Think there's a certain YouTuber I won't name that I think he did a video on it once.
I just love that one. I just love
I'll have to go back and check, but I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means? We just hit my number one.
Damn.
Yeah. That means we have reached
the end of the show. Oh, I know you're all crying, but you'll be back next week for an awesome one.
Wait, no, there's no crying on here. Oh, well.
There's the baby!
No.
We can wah, wah, wah.
No.
Put in a baby voice. I'll wah.
No. Yeah, we're at the end of the show.
Oh,
I know.
That's the best we can do.
I know. You all want more. Mm. I want to give you more.
But you know where you can get more?
Where?
Patreon.
That's right. You're going to get more of me on Patreon.
And every once in a while, a little bit more of me.
No, well, let's hope not. Oh, y'all should have seen the face she made. It's like I just gutted her right there in the chair. Totally worth it. So, first off, let me thank everybody for listening to this week's episode.
Yes, we love you. We do.
We do. We love you. We love interacting with all of you.
On social media.
We love it. You can interact with the show at Transpose Pod on Twitter, at Transpose Pod on Facebook.
Yes.
At transposepod@gmail.com if you want to email us.
Yep.
And you can interact with Stephanie at the Spider's Lair.
Yes.
If you want to.
Where chaos resides.
Of course. You got to put in your damn catchphrase, tagline, whatever the hell you want to call it. Shit. You can also hang out with your girl, Robin Allura, here at Robin Allura. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I ain't doing anything, so interact with me.
You know why I say that, right? Because the Spider's Lair is my home, and I am chaos.
Sure, we'll go with that. I was going to say a bag of cats, but...
Same difference.
Same difference. So, yes, and also, please, visit our Patreon page.
Yes.
Patreon.com.
We all love you already.
We love you. Patreon.com/transposepod.
Mm-hmm.
Because, y'all, your girl don't want to work.
And we want to deliver this show to you week after week, and we want to do big things with it.
And
we really do.
And let's face it. I care so much about this podcast, and I care so much about my fans and our community.
We do.
We really do. That's mm-hmm. not me being a bitch.
No.
I don't really have time for a job.
No.
So help your girl and make
And I promise
this.
You, I promise you that $300 a month tier, if we get there, it is so totally worth it. So help us get $300 a month. In Patreon.
Oh,
in Patreon support.
I'm terrified.
Please.
I'm going to have to do a little bit of practicing, aren't I? Crap, I wonder if I can still find my stuff. Anyway, please visit us. Let us know. We're going to have a whole bunch of cool content on there that you can only see with that.
Now, it'll help us keep the show going. It'll help us buy new equipment. It'll help us advertise as needed. It'll help us
Absolutely.
With the merch. It'll help us, you know, be able to come up with cool things that we can do, go locations we can go to spotlight other trans people out there in the world doing their thing.
Absolutely. Who knows? Maybe
help
even.
Us.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Just maybe.
Uh-oh.
Even. A live show or two.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I want to do this.
That could be really awesome.
But
I don't know.
We totally love you guys as it is. And we thank everybody. Thank you for listening and for sharing and interacting with us.
Absolutely. So, yes, thank you for interacting with us. We love you all. We hope everybody comes back next week. We hope you all send us
You've got to come back and hear AJ talk.
Oh, I'm so damn excited.
And she totally has the voice for podcasting, y'all.
Yes, she does.
She
can kinda kill it.
You know, we're just faking it until we make it.
Well, I just fake it. I'm never going to make it. But yes, y'all show us some love, especially next week, because... Mm-hmm.
Tell all your friends.
And again, the Twitter Q&A. Send us your mm-hmm.
questions.
We love ya. Absolutely.
What do you want to ask us? Anything.
Anything.
Within reason.
Yeah, well, yeah, within reason. And that's flexible. But thank you, everybody.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed this this episode. And we'll see you next week.
Uh-huh.
Later.